Morning again. I don't know if this is on. Yeah, it's on. Ben Maynard is here today. Snuck in there. I mean, it's good to see the rest of the Maynards. We ain't seen Ben in a while to be with us, so it is a pleasure to worship with you today, Ben, and with the family. This morning, I want to start by talking a little bit about travel. I love to travel. Just yesterday, Mary Beth and I were talking about, we need to go. Where are we going next? Where's the next place to go? And I think we're kind of both in this. Like, I grew up in a house, and maybe, I think there's kind of two ways that families tend to travel. I grew up in a house where we always went to the same places every single time. There was like three or four places. My mom and dad loved Myrtle Beach, and they loved St. Petersburg, Florida, and they loved Nashville. And there's three places we went over and over and over again. Usually in the same places. It ain't broke, don't fix it. That kind of thing. And to be fair, back in those days, it was a little more difficult to travel. Today, you know, of course, you could just do it all on your phones and everything. The way that Mary Beth and I are, it's like, okay, we've been there. Let's go somewhere else. You know, I just assume, I don't know if there's any place that I just have to go back to this place. There's too many other places. Like, if I saw every place, then okay, there's some places that I want to go back to. But there's just too many places to see. And so today I started thinking about, this week leading up, I was thinking about some of the most beautiful places that I've ever been to. Some of the places where you just try to capture the moment where you're just kind of taking it all in. And it doesn't have to be exotic, right? Like some of the most beautiful sunsets I've ever seen were in the Kroger parking lot. Like there's been like two or three times I'm leaving and the sky is this dazzling pink color and I'm going to Instagram that and all I get are these lampposts and I can't go in the power lines and I can't get it out, but yet it's still like amazing. And so it doesn't necessarily have to be like an exotic place, but there are some exotic places that are just breathtaking. And I think one of the first places that I ever went to where I just was like, this is unbelievable. And I think I've mentioned it before. I know several of you have been there, but if you go to the edge of the beach at Key West on the western coast and watch the sun go away, it was one of the most incredible things I'd ever seen. That you could just watch it, there it is, and there it's gone. Of course, you have all these weird carny guys that are doing all their stuff. It takes it away from a little bit. But I just remember thinking, that was one of the most incredible things I've ever seen. A couple years ago, Ben, you guys remember, we hiked about 5 miles the Appalachian Trail in February because it was a beautiful day in Tennessee. And we got to the state line between North Carolina and Tennessee, and we just hiked through there. And you met Brian. Where's Brian? Brian, you were there too, I think. And we got out to one of these places where it just opened up and you couldn't see people and all you could see were these rolling mountains. And you just try to capture that time for a little while. This past summer we drove along the northern shore of Lake Superior, which was just an incredible, see, it was one of the most incredible drives that we've ever done. It was just lakes everywhere and the colors were just this vivid green and no moose for some reason. I was like sure we would see, you know, one pop its head out somewhere, but we didn't. But it was just amazing. And so I wanted to just take a minute and hear from you some of the most incredible places that you have been that have just, like, if you close your eyes right now, you can kind of be brought back to that place. Anybody? Anne? Canada? Like, it's thing about Canada is it's so sparsely populated. the moments I'm talking about are the moments where you decide to just put your phone down. You're like, I just got to take it in. Just got to take it in, right? You snap a couple to take, and then you just try to take it in. Canada, I had a friend on Facebook that was there a couple weeks ago. I told him, like, that's got to move up the list. Like, that's got to go. Banff, right? Is that they were? Mindy. Yeah, it's a bucket list too. Hawaii. I know you guys have been to Hawaii. Several people have been to Hawaii. That seems like the kind of thing you just take it in, right? Kurt. Okay, rub it in. Anybody else been to the top of the Matterhorn? Oh, there, just the two of you, I think, right? Like, it's the same thing. I mean, you just. Patricia? Yeah, all right. All right, you suburbanites. The Chilean desert? Yeah. Mindy, did you have one here too? Jeez. I had a wake. I was sitting there like, I'm pretty sure she said so. Oh, Wade, did you had your hand up. Bahama's beautiful, yeah. Right there at Acadia. One of my favorite places in the world, Acadia. Ken? Really? It doesn't just kind of give you chills talking about all these things? Like, even if you've never been to some of these places, you can kind of resonate with being somewhere like that. Val? Meredith, are you writing these places down? Like, we gotta get these all written down. Like, everybody I've talked to who's ever been to Grand Canyon, it's just like, you just stand there and just take it in. Chris? Yeah, you guys did the Philmont thing last summer, right? It's incredible. Walyards? Fight it out. But you're the oldest, you go first. Yes, I love it. He said the top of the Millennium Force at Cedar Point. You ever do it? Have you done it like at dusk or at dark? That's a game changer, Luke. It's a game. I mean, it's incredible during the day, but nighttime, front car, eating bugs, it's incredible. Yeah, but it's cool. Dave, do you have one? Yeah, at night, it's so great. Something about just up time, right? No matter where you are, you're like, oh, this is kind of ugly. But then you go up, and you're like, oh, this is incredible. Cameron? Yes, we know where your heart is, Cameron. The rocking. And what about yesterday, right? Being at a stadium and just, oh, there's something alive about it. Annabeth? Game changer. Ruth? I know, and that's the thing. You get exotic, and then, you go down to Old Man's Cave, you're like, this is an hour away from home. This is incredible, right? This is incredible. Brian? Yeah. Some of you guys that fly all the time, maybe you get used to it, but I don't ever get used to it. Like, it's just amazing to be there. Anybody else? Clementine, you sleep yet? Oh. Four. So, be here. Be here for a while. With all of that in mind, let me read to you Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens. You have taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all who oppose you. When I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think of them? Human beings that you should care for them? Yet you made them only a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them charge of everything you made, putting all things under their authority. The flocks and the herds and all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, and everything that swims the ocean currents. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. The opening words of the Apostles' Creed state, I believe in God the Father, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of the heavens and the earth. God is creator is one of the most fundamental beliefs of the Christian faith. It's fundamental to, it's so fundamental that we don't even talk about it all that often. Yeah, God made everything. But when you really stop our busy lives and just reflect, when you look into the night, remember that old, what was that old cartoon movie back in the 80s? Bible Goes West, is that the one that was? I don't know, I can't remember. It was American Tale, it was one of those deep theological movies. And I was like 7 or whatever. But one of the cool things I remember from the movie is, remember they get separated and they look up at the sky and they're like, whenever you look up at the sky, you're all looking into the same sky. I'm sure it was more poetic than that, but. Yeah, I didn't want to get too detailed about it because I would tear up. But that idea that, you know, on the one hand, it can make you feel so small and yet so significant. And that's kind of what the psalmist in Psalm 8 is wrestling with. Like, I look at all that God has done, all these things that we talked about this morning, and all the list of the places that we haven't been, right? And all of us, for every exciting and wonderful place and thing that we've seen, there's 100 others that we'd like to see. And we praise and honor God, the Creator, for that. And yet, also, it's humbling to know that the God who did that cares about us, cares about me. When you look into space at night, when you walk along the beach, and you see all these shells from all over the place, to know that God has made this. When you look through a telescope, and you can just think that space goes on and on and on and on. And it was one of the most difficult things I've ever done is when I had, like, we got to the astronomy lessons in space, and they try to give you some sense of distance, right? What's this? How do you even understand that? I only speak miles, kilometers. I don't understand this light year stuff. And, well, if you started traveling now, you get to this planet in this many months. Oh, that's just one galaxy. There's other galaxies. What? The Bible begins with the words, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Of course, most of you know that Genesis was originally written in Hebrew. And the title of the book of Genesis is Bereshit. The 5 books of Moses, the title in Hebrew is, and they were pretty sophisticated, it's just the first word in the book. So Bereshit. In Hebrew, the name of Genesis is actually "In the beginning." That's the name of the book. In Hebrew, the opening sentence of Genesis reads, "Bereshit bara Elohim et ha'eretz va'et ha'shamayim." The key word in that phrase is bara. It's the Hebrew word for create. But it's a unique word. It's only used of God. God's the only person bara-ing in the Old Testament. There's other words for humans. The other thing that's interesting is that it's never given a substance. The Bible never says God made something from substance. It's made it out of nothing. He spoke and it existed. We're going to do some fancy words. We're going to go all over the place and impress everyone with our smarts, right? We talked about the Hebrew word bara, to create. There's a Latin phrase in theology. It's called ex nihilo. It means out of nothing. That God created out of nothing. When you stand, what are some of the other places we didn't mention? Stand, remember last summer we took the kids on the Maid of the Mist, and you go to the base of Niagara Falls and all that powerful water, and you think, God just spoke that. He just spoke it. I mean, it's pretty impressive what humans are able to do nowadays, and our science is pretty sophisticated, and we've done things that even 50 years ago they would think was never possible. Yeah, we ain't even close to speaking anything out of nothing, right? I remember when cloning first kind of came out. What was the name of that? Dolly? Dolly, and you remember, you know, and there's a lot of sophisticated things with cloning, but when you really look at this, they're not taking nothing and making something, right? They're taking stuff that already exists and making it. And I'm not saying that it isn't impressive what they're doing, but it's so much more significant what God has done. Ex nihilo, out of nothing, God spoke and this world was created. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27 and 28. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, all the animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And then God blessed them and he said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and the animals that scurry along the ground. So on the one hand, we have this Latin phrase, ex nihilo, God made something out of nothing. There's another Latin phrase we're going to focus on this morning for a minute, imago Dei. Probably more familiar with that one. The image of God. That there was some part of this created order, some beings of this order that God created different than all the other creatures, all the other of creation. To reign over the other creatures. I like to say that you don't have bears who bring their little cubs to the zoo and look at little toddler human beings, right? It doesn't work that way. What does it mean that they are going to reign over it? Well, we have zoos and we've subdued the creation. Not always well. We've done some things poorly. We've destroyed some things. But overall, we're given the responsibility of creation. And so it's kind of an interesting dynamic to consider this morning. We talk about all the beautiful places that we mentioned until Cameron brought us down to the World Series. We're going to get to that stuff here. It was all nature, right? But isn't there something equally, almost equally impressive about being at the World Series, knowing that we created this, like we created it? Or those of you who went to the Ohio Stadium yesterday, I don't care if you're a Buckeye fan or not, you go to the base of the stadium and you're like, we made this. Like, this is incredible. This is an incredible feat of humanity, right? And so what are some other places that you've been made by man that you've stood in the midst of and been impressed and in awe? Anybody? How about the Hoover Dam? Been there? You walk underneath that thing and you're like, huh, how'd we do this? Maybe those engineers among us aren't as impressed, but I am. It blows my mind away. Chris? Yeah. Has anybody ever watched a rocket take off? Like, that would just blow my mind. Oh, they're going to space. They're going to go land on the moon. That's cool. What? It's incredible. Anybody else? Any other man-made spectacles? The Capitol building. I mean, just walking around D.C. is unbelievable. Like, the United States is not big on monuments and stuff, but the few places that we are just, it's incredible. I mean, I remember the first, like, skyscrapers I ever saw were in Chicago. And I think most of us probably remember the first time you see them, because you're just like, you know, you're trying in your car to stick your head out to see the top of them, because, you know, unless you grow up around them. Of course, you know, being from Defiance, I came to Columbus, we're like, these buildings are huge. And now we're all spoiled. We live here, and we're like, yeah, that's nothing. Statue of Liberty. If you've been out, probably a lot of you have been in it or around it. It's just, there's something awe-inspiring, not just of its size or stature, but the craftsmanship and all the things that go around. Notre Dame Cathedral, any of the European cathedrals, St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City, you walk in any of those, and it's like, did this. Like, we did this. I mean, I'd take credit for it. I don't know the first thing about it. Anything else? Anybody been to the pyramids? Just to imagine that people did that? Like, God didn't just throw those down. Like, somehow, made those. Anything else? Chris? Oh, Versailles. Just the fountains, right? Like, you're walking around, you're like, how did they? Get your West Virginian out there, Chris. Mary Beth. We were in London a couple years ago, and we, you know, we're big Harry Potter fans, and it's incredible to go and see this world that they created. First of all, you had an author who made this world up. And those of you who are literature fans and you like to read, I mean, any book you read, I'm just amazed that people can tell stories the way they did. But for her to create this world and then come together with artists and directors and make those, you know, 7 books, 8 movies, you just walk, we did this. It's incredible. Star Wars, you know, Disneyland, any of those places that you go to. Luke mentioned Cedar Point. And you go on the top thrill dragster 400 feet in the air and go, we did this! I can't believe it. I hope they did it right. It's amazing. It's amazing what God has empowered us to, is it not? I mean, don't get me wrong, like looking in the river and seeing beaver dams, that's impressive, but come on, man. Like, we did the Statue of Liberty, beavers. Like, this is nothing, right? I've seen some impressive hornet's nests, like from a distance. But you look at what God has empowered humans to do. It's nothing like that. It's nothing. He's given us so much power to create. And when you think about your life, like, isn't that what you spend your life doing? Like we spend our lives creating. Like, we make stuff. We make babies. We make houses. We remodel houses. We make gardens. We make quilts. We make up games. We make up stories. Like, somewhere, every single part, I'm gonna hit on you. Like, every single one of us. There's something. I mean, I kind of like to write. Deb likes to write. Chris likes to write. Some of you, Kurt, I'm guessing, probably doesn't like to write. Maybe. I never had this conversation. I don't mean to call you out, but I'm just guessing. Not. His thing is something that he likes to take pictures. Like, think about all these social media apps. What are they really about? Gives us the opportunity to create something, right? Create relationships, create pictures, create stories, on and on and on. This has all been given to us by God. Like, that's where that impulse comes from. You ever wonder? You ever ask yourself, why do I like to make stuff? Clementine's here. Our other 2 kids are with their grandma. Clementine's room is, her art space is a disaster. Like, I don't even know what's going on in there. It kind of looks like a little crafts bomb went off, and there's stuff everywhere. But there's just something, I think everybody can relate to that. Whatever your thing is, if it's woodworking, if it's gardening, if it's crafts, whatever it is, you like to have the space. And that's when we become, we're most like God when we do that. Like, it's a fundamental thing to life, and I know you're like, oh, of course we do this. But why do we do this? It's because of the Imago Dei, because God has made us in His image. And we fulfill our purposes most and best when we allow God to kind of take over our creativeness and say, how can you use me to do this? Listen to Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to Him. He laid the earth's foundation on the seas. He built it on the ocean depths. Who may climb the mountains to the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? Only those whose hands and hearts are pure. Do not worship idols and never tell lies. They will receive the Lord's blessing and have a right relationship with God their Savior. For such people may seek you and worship in your presence. Open up ancient gates, open up ancient doors, and let the King of Glory enter. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord invisible in battle. When you are inspired by the creativity of God, it kind of takes off the limits of what we might do. We talk about creation and making things that so often we think of products, or we think of art, or we think of a drawing or something like that. But our creation is really, it's everything we do with our lives. I mean, in some form or fashion, the way you spend the next 7 days of your life, it's creating things. It's making things. It's being a part of this creation. Creation gives us a purpose. It's a reminder that you're here to do something. Like sitting and watching television 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we all realize that that's not what we're here for. Yeah, we need rest, we need Sabbath, we need a time to charge the batteries, but then it's like, okay, no matter what stage of life we may find ourselves or how old we may find ourselves, there's that impulse in us that I'm here to do something meaningful. I'm here to serve some purpose. Paul says in Colossians, whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Fundamental to our creative purposes is our response to God. Some people go to nature, some of the most beautiful places that we've ever been to. We probably have seen artists there painting pictures, writing in their journals. Paris is famous for its attraction to artists and its beautiful city, because there's something about being in a creative environment, being in a space where we can kind of seek out our inspiration. When you really follow the story of the Bible, the inspiration is God. Like when you stand in awe of the omnipotent, the all-powerful, the all-knowing, our response is to worship some way, somehow. And when we come together on Sundays and we worship, it's an act of creation. Like Brian helped kind of create the service today. People have written songs that we can sing that help create this worship experience. And your participation through singing and listening and praying together, you're creating this moment, this event for God. Creation, one of our fundamental purposes, one of the 52 words that we're working through this year. And it may, in some ways, seem kind of an outlier compared to some of the others, but the more you think about it, the more fundamental it really is to our faith and our understanding of God and our understanding of the world. This morning, we're going to close with a song, "This Is My Father's World." And hopefully this morning, I've helped you see how there's this symbiotic relationship to the beauty in nature and the beautiful things that God has done in His creation, and His impetus on us to go and continue to have dominion and rule over this world and be co-creators with Him, to continue to fill this world with love and beauty and grace and all the things that God has instilled in us. So if you'll join us and sing this song with us together.